in honor and respect and reverence and obedience to our God. And we talked about last week how it's so important that you're in the Word of God. If you're not in the Word of God, you don't fear God. You don't. You don't read your Bible. You are, in essence, saying, you're talking, but I'm not listening. That's an ugly picture, isn't it? But that's the truth. It applies. If I don't read my Bible, I'm not listening. And yet, if I need to get into the Bible, then I might fear God. We discussed last week how that we review in the Word of God many of the actions of God, the mighty wonders of God, what He has done, who He is. And we even go back to Genesis, discuss creation itself, but from nothing, Jesus spoke into existence everything. He's worthy of fear. He's worthy of reverence and honor. In nations that have these kings, you know, everybody bows, you know, to the king. The king walks by. Would that be a picture of you spiritually with God? I think part of that is depicted when you bow your head into the Bible. You bend the knee in prayer. It's so needful that you and I fear our God. And so today, in conclusion of this series, I want to talk about what happens when you do fear God. What does it precipitate? What does it generate in your life and for you? And there's a number of things. So we're going to go on this list. And yes, we're going to look at be ready to flip in your Bible back and forth, because it's where all the truths are. And the first thing is this, is victory over sin. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. You know, I did not do a bunch of things that I was inclined to do growing up because I feared Dad and what that would bring upon me. It kept me from sin. You see what I'm saying? And the Bible tells us how that truly a fear of God is for your protection. That obedience to God. Now, in Exodus 20, verse 20. I'm in Genesis. Exodus 20, which we know to be where the Ten Commandments are. Verse 20 says this. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you. That's to test you, challenge you. And that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. His fear may be before your faces. You may see and know of your God and have fear. And what will it do? That ye sin not. One of the major intents of God that we would fear him is that we would obey him and not sin. It protects us from sin. I could have gotten a whole lot more trouble than I did growing up if it wasn't the fact that I feared. I had a fear and respect not only for Dad, but that transferred into other authorities. You see? And it protected me. And God says, if you fear him, it's for your protection, to keep you from sin. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. If you're not living in the fear of God, and no telling what you'll do in any given day, you need to fear him every day for your protection. So one of the things that precipitated by the fear of God is this victory over sin, preventing us from sin. Proverbs 3, look at verse 7, if you would. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. They go together. No fear of the Lord, you don't depart from evil. You live just the way you want to, because you only answer to yourself. But now when you answer to God, it keeps you from evil. Depart from evil. Look at 16:6. Proverbs 16:6. Fearing God is healthy for you. Keep you clean. Keep you lined up. 16, verse 6, it says this, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. It couldn't be any clearer. God designed your attitude that we're to have towards God is one that is, yes, honest to goodness, fear. But yes, that's respect, honor, love, appreciation. Keep us from sinning. The Bible says so. That's one precious thing. I trust we fear God that we not be found in sin. Also, you know, service, serving, doing something for God. Fear God make you do that. I never liked taking the trash out. I never did. I still don't like it. But I learned to do it. Fear of Dad. Respect and obedience. You see? Turn, if you would, to Joshua 24. Fear of God precipitates so much in our lives by God's design. Thank God for it. And boy, if you don't fear God like you ought to, man, get in the Word of God. Review His mighty works. And they'll put you more in your place where you need to be, where He is high and lifted up and all-powerful, the Creator of the universe. You take a look at night at all the stars and all that you see, the planets that you see, and acknowledge God made that. And I'm this little speck here. Goodness sakes, our earth is a little speck in the universe. Who are you then? And yet that God, as David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That you would even consider me. We should be in awe and in obedience, and we should serve. Look at verse 14. Joshua 24, 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and what? Serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. And in Egypt, serve you the Lord. You know, there was constant reminders to Israel. And the same reminders are found in this Bible to us. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Serve him. See? And by the way, as you and I minister to one another, to people, we are serving him, you see. That's in his will. So to have a healthy fear of God will keep you from sinning. It'll keep you serving. And it'll provide for some deliverance. And let me show you what I mean. Go to 2 Kings 17. Some deliverance. In 2 Kings, notice chapter 17, verse 39. Look what it says. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. You know, God never owes us anything. But you know what? He does follow up in his promises. And he'll keep you from so much. Why? Because he says, if you fear me. That's good to know. If you fear him. You know, it's like knowing your mom and dad, they'll come to your aid. They got your back type thing. That's what God is saying here. I got you covered. But you need to fear him. Hold him in the highest of regards, the priority of your life. And he promises this. And look at Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. I mean, ultimately, many people come to Christ because of fear and therefore to be delivered of hell. Since the Bible says we are condemned already, we're all sinners headed for hell. We need Jesus. And notice verse 26, Acts 13, 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you it is the word of this salvation sent. So he's sharing the gospel. And salvation is provided. There's no greater deliverance than to be delivered from hell, from Satan's grasp, you see, because that's an eternal thing. Listen, there's no purgatory. It's not in the Bible. But there is a heaven, hallelujah, and there is a hell. And fear of the Lord brings you to believe the word and his word and to trust the Christ that he provided for us, the Savior. Deliverance from an eternity in hell. Yeah, I praise God for that. Fear. It's healthy. It's good. It provides for victory over sin. It provides that we maintain serving and ministering. It provides deliverance from many things that are bad. But also, do you know what? God honors those that fear him. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalm 15. I mean, that God is even mindful of me, let alone that he would honor me, that he would honor you. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 15, verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned or hated, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and change not. He honoreth them that fear the Lord. Honor. God's honor. I think that's worth obedience and due diligence for it. Proverbs 31, we're familiar how it speaks of what we call the Proverbs 31 lady, that woman who loves and serves her God and her family. She's not lazy. She's right at it. But notice this in verse 30 of Proverbs 31. It says, favor is deceitful. That means beauty. You know, and it can be very deceitful. And many a man has plunged in all because of beauty, see, and found out later it was only skin deep. Favor is deceitful. It can deceive. And beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You see, she shall be honored. She's worthy of praise. She's worthy of honor. Why? It says here, because she feareth the Lord. Fear God. He'll honor you. He'll protect you. He'll take care of you. Another thing that fearing God will naturally precipitate is praise to God. Again, when we consider the mighty works of God, the wonders of God, there's just a natural praise. The fact that Christ went to the cross, we praise him. We're thankful for him. Go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, and I'm only picking out various verses. There's so many verses that we could share on each note, each point. Psalm 118, and notice if you would, verse 4. Let them now that fear the Lord, so I know who we're talking about, the ones that fear him, say that his mercy endureth forever. So those that fear should say. That means testify. That means praise him. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Say so. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're not to be quiet Christians. It should be obvious to people. We have no problem saying, well, thank God. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know? And the healthy fear of God brings you to that place. Psalm 135. Psalm 135. All that he's done for you and I. Notice verse 13. No, excuse me. Psalm 135, verse 20. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. And I believe a great opportunity is when we assemble together in the house of God and we're told to pick up our hymnal or check out the screen to see the words. That is an opportunity for you and I to praise God in the fear of God. You know who we're singing to? You know who we're singing about? It does something for your soul. It's from here, deep. When you fear God. Don't tell me you fear God because you just mouth the words. I'm telling you, the singing portion, the music portion of a church's service, worship service to God, is so important. It isn't we sing a verse or two for a couple of songs, toss the hymn book down, and now let's sit and all right, the Bible, this will be a lesson or a message. No, it's not to be ever considered trite. Amen. A huge portion of the service is in praise to God. We have the privilege to sing and to praise him. And in the process, you are blessed and your heart is prepared to hear the word of God. If you fear God, you'll sing. You'll tell of others of your Savior. Praise to God. Revelation 19. These are things that truly, when you and I fear God, they're just natural. It comes forth. It comes forth. You don't fear. It's not real. It's not genuine. You're just spitting words. Revelation 19. Notice, if you would, verse 5. Here in heaven, the scene, and a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." Well, that's what we're headed for, brothers. We'll praise him here and we'll praise him there. The great God, we will know all things then. We'll have a perfect understanding and appreciation. I suppose when we have that great revelation of our God and the reality of heaven, the Creator, the Savior, there might be a moment of reflection and say, "I wish I'd have done better. I wish I'd have praised him more. I wish I'd have witnessed more." You see? Because I see clearly now. And yes, we're all in fear of God. All of heaven bows to the Savior. We have that opportunity now. And the fear of God precipitates that, to praise God. And you know what? Again, God honors those that praise him. And God's goodness, his hand of blessing is upon those that fear him. Because fear precipitates obedience. You're going to bring upon you the blessings of God. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Look at a few verses reflecting the truth that God's blessings come upon us. His hands of blessing and strength. Psalm 31, we'll start there, verse 19. The Bible says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness." There's an acknowledgement here. "Which thou hast laid up for who? For them that fear thee." "Which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." So God's hand, his great hand of goodness, you can expect it upon you if you fear God, you live in the fear of God. Because it does, as we have studied those last several weeks, it affects the way you live, the decisions that you and I make, the things we do or don't do when we fear God. So yes, you can expect the goodness of God upon you when you fear God. The Bible says so. Psalm 115, and notice verse 13. The Bible says, "He will bless them," who? "That fear the Lord, both small and great." He'll bless them. The hand of blessing from God. There is no greater blessing than that which comes from Almighty God. Amen. Psalm 145. Now, if you're not living in the fear of God, you can't have that expectation. Oh, yeah, we experience the blessings of God because he's so merciful. But you can have that expectation when you fear him and live as if you fear him. Notice 145 verse 19. "He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." Do you see that? It's his desire. Listen, the same applies in the household. When children are growing, dad is more than willing to accommodate, to bless, to shower on his children when they are in respectful fear. I mean obedience and honor and respect. The Bible still says, "Honor thy mother and thy father." And there's no list after that. If they this, if they that, if they don't do this, if they don't. No, there's not a list that goes along with that. It's simply honor thy mother and thy father. And may I say, included in that is the idea, it's intimated, of fearing them and obeying them, loving them and appreciating them. And yes, when you do, the blessings of dad and mom come on the kid. Can you imagine God? He says he'll bless you if you live in the fear of God. It's a good, secure place to live. It affects our behavior. And God says he'll bless us. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. And mind you, these are promises of God. God keeps his promises. I'm sure I can't recall any particular event, but I'm sure that at some times I told the kids, yes, listen, you do, I'll do this. I'll do this. And I forget. Perhaps I have forgotten. God doesn't forget. Whatever promise he makes, he follows through. In Proverbs 10, look if you would at verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Prolongeth days. Now, I know he takes them home early. But let me tell you something. Paul said it right. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Okay, in truth. But in this life, one of the blessings he gives is long life to those that fear him. Look at 22, Proverbs 22, verse 4. I mean, this Bible is so full of truths regarding those that fear God. God, help us to fear him and respect him and honor him, obey him. 22, 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. He's not saying you're going to be filthy rich with money. There's a richness that's far greater than that that comes from God. There's a richness in living and knowing you're God's child. Knowing you have his hand of protection, his hand of provision, his hand of power, his hand of comfort and encouragement. That's the true riches. And who's he going to do that to? Those that fear him. Fear God, and you experience the goodness of God. One more, Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And he keeps all his promises. And he loves you with an everlasting love. He wants to bless you, strengthen you, encourage you. But we must acknowledge that he is God and not just an insurance policy from the fires of hell, some fire insurance, or some go-to when I have a great need. Isn't it amazing how those in an emergency room at a hospital, when they go to prayer, it's fervent prayer. Great need. How much more confidence is there in prayer when that isn't the only time you pray? You pray each day. That's just another prayer with intensity. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. There's an acknowledgement here by Solomon that we do mess up. Fearing God does not mean I have to be perfect. Fearing God means I want to be perfect. And I'll try to make my decisions according to pleasing him, according to the word of God. And God promises me that things will be well for you, son. It'll go well for you if you fear God. God's goodness can be expected. And one of those goodnesses is the mercy of God. Do you know what you deserve? It doesn't get any worse than that. Only by God's mercy. Psalm 103. His mercy is bestowed on those that fear him. I mean, I think a classic example is the two that were crucified with Jesus, the one on the right and the one on the left. One just mocked Jesus along with the crowd. There was no fear. It was selfish, and he received no mercy. But now the other criminal, an acknowledged criminal, he knew he was a sinner, and he knew that Jesus wasn't. And he turned his heart to Jesus. And what did he get? He got mercy. As far as we know, the Bible does not say he ever stepped a foot in the synagogue. Did he ever honored God, feared God, worshiped God, lived for God? All we know is that he was a criminal. His whole epitaph is bad. And yet, because he feared and he humbled himself, he had heaven for eternity. Jesus showed him mercy. When you fear God, we can expect the mercy of God. We're in Psalm 103, verse 11 says this, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." You see that? It's for those that fear. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And notice with me, if you would, verse 50. The Bible says, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever generation, the mercy of God is bestowed upon those that fear him. God's mercy, wonderful, wonderful. Happiness, happiness. Yes, when you fear God, there's happiness. Psalm 112. Just a couple more things to go through here, and I want to fit them in. But look at 112, Psalm 112, verse 1. Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." So blessed, another word for blessed is happy. Happy, he delighteth. Why? Those that fear God. Happiness. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, verse 23. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it," hath what? "The fear of the Lord shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." Well, that's happy. I'm glad that that's there. Proverbs 28, 14. "Happy is the man that feareth alway. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." Oh, a healthy fear of God, what it precipitates. And you know, another thing it does is confidence. And I'm sure there's many other things. We've gone through a little list here. But confidence. When you fear God, you can have confidence. You don't live in fear of anything else. Proverbs 14. In Proverbs 14, verse 26, the Bible says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." A place of refuge is confidence. See, if you live in fear of God, you don't live in fear of anything else. You have that assurance, that confidence, that strength. Isaiah 50, Isaiah 50, verse 10 says this, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his bed." You know what that means, to stay? For those that fear God, that means to rest upon his God. To stay upon his God. There's rest. There's confidence. There's a peace. Don't let things shake you up. You that fear God can have that confidence. And I don't think we could close the lesson without acknowledging this. Of all these things that true fear of God, honoring, respectful, loving God, can precipitate that are good. What if you don't fear God? A couple things to note under judgment, a couple of verses. Judgment comes. Again, in a Bible-believing home, if a child disobeys dad, shows no honor, respect, boy, you see that among young people all the time, how kids talk to their parents. Does it go well for them? No, judgment comes. Or maybe in those particular cases, they didn't have judgment. The fault of dad or mom. They didn't have what they required in growing to be nurtured and guided and developed. But God tells us, for one place, I'll just look at a few verses here and we'll close, but Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29 says this, Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's the instruction. That's how we should live. That's how we should serve. Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Now those are the words of God. He described himself as a consuming fire, that we might fear him. We should reverence him and live in godly fear. Luke 12:5 says this. Jesus speaking says, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Fear God. You don't fear God, you're going to hell. Because the fear of God, the respect of God, it's the believing of his word that brings a man to repentance and ultimately forgiveness and salvation. I'll read one more. Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. And mind you, we've only visited a number of verses under each of these. But God, through his word, instructs. In verse 7, it says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. Anybody we ever witnessed to, you don't, you know, stick your face in their face and say, you're going to hell. But this is the truth that should provoke you and I to open our mouths. Because there is a judgment coming. And those that fear God and follow after what that precipitates and be saved, come to know Christ as their personal Savior, have eternity in heaven. But those that don't, of an eternity in hell. You know, you got a choice. Fear God or don't. I think we've looked at enough in this lesson to know that fearing God is the best way to go. It's the happy way to go. It's a life of fullness, of protection, of provision, of blessedness, of happiness in loving and serving our God. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God and its instructions. And dear God, help us to maintain, in fact, to grow our fear and respect of our Almighty God. May we be reminded daily through the Word of God. May we make commitment to be in the book and on our knees before our Holy God, that you might receive glory and you might have your hands free to bless your children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.